East Coast College Training, July 13th through 19th, 2009, Athens, Georgia. Title, Christ Lives in Me. Evening Session, Christ Lives in Me, the Experience of Christ in Galatians. Message number 6, Crucified to the Religious World to Live a New Creation.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Your spirit is still strong.
Amen.
Amen. After a full week of training. This morning, in my time with the Lord, I was praying for you. I should have been praying for myself. Your spirit is strong this morning. I was praying. I know the young people are tired, and their capacity is about coming out their ears right now. But your spirit is still strong. Hallelujah. As we've been told many times, our spirit is our spiritual muscle. And as any athlete knows, when you gain a benefit in exercising your muscle, it's when you get tired. If you stop when you get tired, you miss out on the benefit of progressing and going further. Well, this morning, I have no doubt, a little tiredness, right? I've talked to a few of you since I've been here, and a few said, yeah, it's good. I'm really tired. And it's so much. Well, amen. Let's don't give up. Let's press on this morning and exercise our spirit. Even though we're a little tired and our capacity is full, let's get enlarged this morning.
Amen.
A little bit more dispensing.
Amen.
A little more constitution this morning. Okay, we're on the last message in Galatians. If you need to do your clicking, go right ahead. I've grown kind of fond of that clicking over the course of the time we've been here. And let me just tell you my intention this morning. It's about 10:30, and I know some have to even leave at 11:30 this morning. So what I would like to do is, if we can do this, I think we can, is get through the outline very quickly, maybe in about 20, 25 minutes, and then have about a 20-minute concluding word to the training. Do you think we could make that happen this morning? I mean, it is difficult for a sharing brother to do that, not because you have so much to say, but there's so much riches. We have the ministry is just bulging with riches. And when you start preparing for something, you read this life study and this life study and that book and this book, and you realize, wow, there's just so much here. Where do you stop? But anyway, I will exercise this morning, but I need you to exercise this morning. Exercise your mind to try to stay with the meeting. Exercise your spirit to pull my spirit out. And I'll pull your spirit out.
Amen.
And let's try to get through this in a fairly short period of time. Another reason is I know that the Brad just, on behalf of the church in Athens, thanked you all for coming. I think we need to thank the church in Athens too, don't we? The saints in Athens have been planning for months and laboring for months around the hospitality and the registration and the food service and the transportation and the notebooks and all these things. They've prepared all. You just came. You just plopped down in your seat and everything was ready. Well, thank the Lord for the church in Athens.
Amen.
In fact, why don't we all stand up, all the trainees stand up and say, thank you, Lord, for the church in Athens.
Amen. Lord,
for the church in Athens. Amen. Now, another way to thank the church in Athens. In fact, I was reminded of this by my sister. Two of my flesh sisters live here in Athens and are in the church life here. And when I told one of them that I was going to be coming on the Lord's Day morning and sharing the last message, she said, you are? We don't want to hear you. We want to hear the young people. Thanks for your support. But that is another way that we can thank the church in Athens. They do want to hear from you all. And I know you've been prophesying a lot this week, but we have another opportunity this morning to prophesy again. So we will leave time for that for sure. So let's do our best to try to move through this, and we will admittedly have to skip a lot of things, but we'll try to focus just on a particular burden in this message. And we'll just exercise not to touch a lot of other things. But Brother Bill helped us see last night Paul's spirit in writing the book of Galatians, which was very helpful to me. Paul was full of feeling when he wrote this book. Why? Because these were his spiritual children. These were ones that he had preached the gospel to, and he had travailed that they would be brought forth in Christ and that Christ would be revealed in them. He had a lot of feeling about this group of saints. And so when he wrote this epistle to the Galatians, you notice there's five verses of kind of an introduction and greeting. And then he gets right to the heart of the matter in verse 6. He gets right to what is on his heart. He says, I'm Paul, I'm writing to you, grace to you. Okay, let's get to the point. I marvel that so quickly you're being removed from him. Paul couldn't believe it. These saints he had labored on, travailed over, they were being removed from the very one he brought them to. And he couldn't believe how quickly it was happening. I don't just marvel that it's happening, how quickly it's happening, that you're being removed from him. So Paul goes on in the rest of the book to bring them back to who? Christ. To bring them back to him. And to show them what you're being bewitched by has no comparison to him. And in essence, in the next few verses, Paul is very strong right at the beginning of this epistle. He says, so quickly you're being removed. Then he goes on, he says, look, another gospel has come in. And in fact, it's not even another gospel. The gospel brings you to him. But another gospel's come in. And Paul, there's some fighting words there. Paul says, listen, if an angel comes to you with another gospel, curse on that angel. If somebody else comes in here with another gospel, curse on that person. If I come to you with another gospel, curse on me. Paul is fighting for these Galatian believers. He is fighting from them right from the beginning of the book. His heart is just laid out. You know where what is on his heart right from the beginning. Because he knows this is a matter of life and death. If you are bewitched to the present evil age, which the brothers made very clear, Brother Benjamin, Brother Ricky, all the brothers in the beginning made it clear, the present evil age is what? The nightclubs. The discos. What's the present evil age? It's religion. It's religion. It's the law. It's the ordinances. And Paul made it clear, if you go back to that, you're under a curse. If you're brought to Christ, you're under blessing. So he is fighting for these believers. He is fighting for them. And young people, I think we probably haven't had that much appreciation until this training about the matter of religion. Because how many of you would consider yourselves to be church kids? Raise your hands. Look at this. Unbelievable. More than half. Meaning, and the same with me. My parents came to the church life when I was 8 years old. I don't ever even remember. I have no recollection of going to a denomination. I'm sure I did. I just don't remember it. It was too early. And many of you probably have never been to a denomination, been into religion. And so we read this and think, well, you know, religion, that doesn't really apply to me. I'm in the church life. I've always been in the church life. What religion? I was never a Catholic. I was never a Protestant, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal. I was never any of those. What religion? This must not really apply to me. But brothers and sisters, religion is in our blood. Religion is in our fiber, in our bones. And what is religion? The brothers pointed out very clearly. Religion is our efforts to improve ourselves to please God. And that is deep in us. We don't realize how deep that is in us. How much of our time is spent trying to improve ourselves so that we would feel like we're pleasing to the Lord. This is very deep in our being. And, you just consider this. If you think you're not religious, what if I came up here this morning and I said, okay, you know what, now we're going to stop this meeting. We're going to have two separate meetings. I'm going to lead one meeting, and in this meeting, the focus of this meeting, the topic will be the seven secrets to being a perfect young person in the Lord's recovery. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? And a bonus session at the end. The seven secrets to solving all your problems. And I got them. And we will meet right here in this room. Okay. Now, Brother Bill's going to take another group, but he doesn't have any secrets. Brother Bill just says, you know what? All I have is Christ, the Spirit, and the divine dispensing. And we'll meet in the broom closet over here. Because we say, well, you know, we've heard all that. We know that. The dispensing, the Spirit. Yeah, we studied that in Summer School of Truth. We know all about that. But the seven secrets to solving all my problems, that is religion. We don't think of that as religion, but that is religion. Because there's something in us that wants to get better. We want to improve. We know we don't meet the standard. And we look for something to help us improve and get better. That is religion. And that is what this book was written for. To be saved from this religion, from the present evil age, from self-improvement, from your own ethical law and unwritten laws. This is what Paul is fighting for in this book. Okay, let's look at the outline. And let's read, let's just do this. Let's read Galatians. We better read the title together first. Let's start with that. Crucified to the religious world to live a new creation. Okay, Roman 1 altogether. Galatians 6:14 shows us that because of the cross of Christ, amen. Okay, all of the freshmen, soon to be freshmen, stand up and read A. All the freshmen. Okay, ready? The context. Merely the religious world. Okay, you'll just have to jot this down. Read note 14:3. I don't think we'll do it right now, but it makes it very clear, it's very compelling in this note, that how we know that the present evil age, the world here, is referring to religion. Okay. B, all of the sophomores, stand up, please, and read with a strong spirit, B. Go. Bye. Amen. By the cross. Hallelujah. By the cross. Okay, the juniors, see. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, let me just assure you, the older you get, the more you will want to improve yourself. when you're in college, you have a certain realization of yourself, and because you're at a certain stage in life. But as you get older, you will have even more of this sense of, I'm not making it. I'm not the right person. When you become a husband and a wife, When you become a father and a mother, you become an employee, when you become the boss, all these titles and all the responsibilities that go along them just expose that you're just shamed. You're ashamed of yourself. You're not meeting the standard that you have in your mind about who you should be. And so we have a tendency towards wanting self-improvement. But if we could learn while we're in college to say, whenever that thought comes up, that I need to improve, that I need to get better, we need to remember this, young people. The cross has separated us from that. The cross of Christ, the death of Christ, has extricated us from that whole realm of self-improvement. When the Lord went to the cross, He was fulfilling the law. He didn't just ignore the law and say, well, there's no law. I'm here, forget the law, there's no law. The law required that a sinner had to die. And when the Lord came on our behalf, mysteriously, mystically, on our behalf, He died and fulfilled the law. He took you to the cross with Him. Now you have no obligation to the law, even your unwritten law, even your ethical, self-made law. You have no obligation to that because the cross has freed you from that. This is the gospel. This is the real gospel. Christ has freed us from the law. He's freed us from religion. He fulfilled the law. There's no more need for us to try to fulfill something that's already been fulfilled. He did it. Hallelujah. Okay, let's keep going. Okay, that we're on Roman numeral 2. How about everybody? Galatians 6:15 shows us that God's intention is that we become a new creation, composed of sons who live the mingled life of the new creation. Amen. Okay, seniors, A. Amen. Seniors, why don't you keep going? Let's finish out that point. Do 1 and 2.
The old creation was old because God was not part of it. The new creation is new because God is in it.
Amen.
The old creation is our old man
in Adam.
Our natural being by birth without God's life and the divine nature, which strives to keep the law and practice circumcision.
Amen. Well, this point is very enlightening in that you can get lost in all the specifics in the book to not realize and not be helped to understand what is Paul really dealing with here. He's dealing with the old creation. And what makes the old creation old? Is it age? What makes the old creation old? There's no God in it. What makes the new creation new? God is in it. It's amazing. Whatever God touches is new. We had a heart. When God came to us, He gave us what? A new heart. What made it new? God was in it. We had a spirit. When God came, He gave us what? A new spirit. Why was it new? God was in it. We have an old man. When God came to us, what happened? We became the new man. We put on the new man. There's the old creation. When God comes into the old creation, what happens? It becomes the new creation. And eventually, there's the new Jerusalem. Why is it new? God is in it. God is mingled with man. He's mingled with man. So it's a new Jerusalem. Whatever God touches is new. Amen. Okay, let's just keep going. B, how about the juniors again stand up for B? Go ahead.
The main issue in Galatians is not circumcision or
A new creation. What matters, juniors?
A new creation.
What matters, juniors?
A new creation.
Hallelujah. Go to number one.
The masterpiece.
Amen. Two. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, that's a mouthful, and that is fresh. That is fresh. How about number three? Amen. Amen. Let's read three again. In
the new creation,
law
is replaced by Christ.
Circumcision fulfilled
by Christ's crucifixion.
Praise the Lord. Amen. If you remember, and Brother Bill sharing, I think Friday night, he said that we were baptized into four things. What were we baptized into? Death of Christ, triune God, and the body of Christ. We were baptized into the death of Christ. We're not trying to get into the death of Christ. We were baptized into the death of Christ. His cross and His death is effective to us because we've been put into it. When we were baptized, we were put into the death of Christ. All that He accomplished is applied to you. It's applied to me. We don't need to try to die. He died. And it's applied to you. He took you with Him. Hallelujah. This is marvelous truth in the Bible. Very mysterious. Hard to grasp. Hard to speak about that well. But He put us, baptized us right into His death. His history became our history. This is a marvelous fact in the Bible. Okay, we are on C. Sophomores, please stand up on C. And let's read C. The new creation
is the meeting of God with man.
Go ahead to one. Amen. Amen. To make us new.
Amen.
Listen, doesn't it make sense? Stay standing up for just a minute. Doesn't it make sense that if everything God touches is new, that as He constitutes us with Himself, we become new?
Amen.
How new are we? As much as we have constitution. As much as God has been added to us. That's how new we are. In our experience, I'm sure you're more new today than you were last Monday. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
More of the Lord Jesus has been added into you. Okay, let's go to two.
Although we remain God's creatures, we are nonetheless mingled with the Creator.
Go. Isn't that marvelous? Thank you. Isn't that marvelous? We're the old creation. And God comes and mingles Himself with the old creation and makes us the new creation. Every day we need more mingling. Every day we need to open to the Lord. Lord Jesus, add Yourself to me today. Don't let this day be wasted. I don't want to miss You today. I don't want to go to sleep tonight the same as I am this morning. I want to be newer tonight.
Amen.
I want to be the new creation even more tonight than I am this morning. Okay, D, freshman. Stand up. Okay, go. In.
Only
one thing. Amen. Amen. Okay, go, keep going. One. We Amen. Okay, two. How about everyone stand up and let's read two. However,
this is real only when we live and walk by the Spirit.
Two again. However, walk by the Spirit. Amen. Okay, have a seat. This is real when we only real to us when we live and walk by the Spirit. This can sound very, what in the world, new creation, old creation? When we touch the Spirit, this is real. When we walk according to the Spirit, this is real. Now, the next one, on three, we need to walk by this rule, right? This is taken from 6:15. Is that where that is? Yeah. 16. The new creation is what matters. In verse 15 and 16 says, as many as walk by this rule. What rule is that? Walk by what rule? Well, in verse 15, or excuse me, chapter 5, we walk by what? We walk by the Spirit. In chapter 6, we walk by this rule. Are those two different things? No, they are not two different things. The rule here is walking by the rule of the new creation. The rule which is the mingling of God with man. God dispensing himself into man. This is the rule by which we walk. And the ministry on this is very helpful. I'm sure you've heard some of this before, so let me just summarize it. In our Christian walk, we have two kinds of walks. We have a general walk, and I think the Greek word is peripateo. Is that right, Brother Bill? Peripateo. And that's a general kind of walk. Asher, could you come up, brother? Let's illustrate using this illustration Brother Lee used. Okay, this is Brother Asher. Brother Asher and I know each other. We're in the same home meeting together. We have been for a couple years now. So we know each other, and Brother Asher lives in the brother's house. With how many brothers?
Five
or six brothers. Okay. So, in Brother Asher's Christian walk, and as a housemate in the brother's house, Brother Asher needs to walk, if he's walking by the Spirit and walking by Christ, he needs to exhibit the virtues of Christ and live out the virtues of Christ that are in chapter 5, which are what? You've memorized these verses. What are some of the virtues? Wow, very good. But to live with people in the brother's house and the sister's house, don't you need some long-suffering? I lived in the brother's house. I know about that. You need some joy if you're going to be a proper Christian. And this is for just your... He goes home, the brothers are there. He in his general walk with the Lord, he needs to express joy. And peace and long-suffering. He needs to love the brothers. This is for his general Christian walk. But there's another kind of walk. Besides being a housemate in the brother's house, he's also a student at Georgia State. And if he goes to school and says, well, I just love everybody. And I just want to be on campus just long-suffering and enjoy and peace. He's never going to graduate, number one. When he gets to school, he needs a very specific kind of walk. What's it called?
Stoicheo.
That is what? A walk that is according to a rule, according to a principle, regulated walk. So when he gets to school, he's got to be very aware of, what do I need to graduate? Which classes? I might like art. Is that going to help me graduate? Well, then I better walk according to this rule. A very specific walk. I can't just walk around campus. I love everybody. Everybody's wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's good for at home, right? And you need to exhibit in your general walk, even with the students, love. But if you're going to fulfill the requirements, you better learn to walk according to a rule and a principle. Okay, thank you. So this is what Brother Paul is referring to here. Walking in a way that fulfills God's eternal purpose. Not just a general, I get along with everybody walk, but a walk that has a result. It issues in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. Well, even that can be kind of hard to grasp. But Paul was very practical. And in Romans 4, he told us we need to walk according to the faith of our father Abraham. And that walk is stoicheo. And that we all need to take Abraham as our pattern. And let me just give you a few points from the ministry that really help us understand this type of a walk and what this walk looks like according to our father Abraham. Number one, in Abraham's walking by faith, he walked in this way. He built an altar. If you want to walk in a way that fulfills God's eternal purpose, one of the very first things we do in our experience is we build an altar. And building an altar is where we worship the Lord and we tell the Lord, Lord, I give my whole being to you. I give everything to you. I give you my heart, my spirit, my soul, my body, my future, my education, my family, my goals. I give it all to you and I lay it on your altar. Do with me whatever you want to do. This needs to be settled in our being, young people. We need an altar. Hopefully, and I believe you have. If you're in this training, I believe strongly that you have. But we need to always keep our consecration to the Lord fresh. And laying particularly our future on the altar. And we'll have a little more fellowship on that later. But number two, let's move along a little quicker. Okay, number two. Besides an altar, Abraham had another very particular type of walk. And that was he lived in a tent. He built an altar and he lived in a tent. What does that mean? He was a sojourner. He knew this was not his home. He was not set, settled, and occupied. He was open to the Lord to move me wherever you want to move me. And as we know in the Lord's recovery today, that call is very strong for the Lord to move us. But it's easy for us to get set, settled, and occupied right where we are and become unavailable to the Lord's move. But if you want to walk according to the example of our father Abraham, a walk that fulfills God's purpose, it's a walk that is living in a tent, ready to go, ready to move, ready to follow the Lord as soon as he speaks to us. Amen. And the last point in following our father Abraham is Abraham was somebody who fought for his nephew Lot. How do we apply this? As the brothers and sisters around us sometimes struggle, get distracted, including ourselves, right? We get discouraged. We know the story of Lot. We won't get into that. But Lot chose to leave Abraham. It was his choice. Abraham didn't kick him out. He chose to leave him. Eventually, it ended up Lot was captured in Sodom and couldn't get out. Now, Abraham could have said, you know what? That serves him right. I mean, I didn't make him go there. He chose to go there himself. And he left me. I didn't leave him. But that wasn't Abraham's attitude. Abraham actually fought for Lot, and he prayed for Lot. He interceded for Lot. He joined the intercession of the heavenly Christ for his nephew. As you have brothers and sisters around you who struggle, who get discouraged, who fall away, if you want to walk according to a walk that fulfills God's purpose, pray for them. Pray for them. Don't give up. The Lord didn't give up on you, right? You're here. We're all here by God's mercy. No other reason except God's mercy. Well, these are just three examples. And just insert this here. You know the result of walking in this way? Walking according to this rule, the rule of the new creation, where what we're walking according to is the dispensing and the mingling of God with man. What the result of that is? Very interesting. Peace. The thing that everybody on this earth is looking for and can't find. It issues in peace. Paul began this epistle with grace. But his first mention at the end was not grace, it was peace. It was peace right after that. But as many as walk by this rule, peace be upon them. Peace. If you don't have peace in your experience, it's usually because we're not walking according to this rule. We're walking by something else. Some kind of ethical, unwritten, something we want to do for the Lord, something we think we should be. But we know when we walk according to this rule, we're just in a situation of peace. We're at peace with the Lord. We're at peace with ourselves. And we're going on in a peaceful way. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read the rest of the outline and stop with the outline. Okay, where are we? On, I think four. Whenever we walk by the flesh, we are in the old creation, not in the new creation. Five. Anything. The old creation. Praise the Lord. Anything in our daily life that does not have God in it, it's just old. It's the old creation. Amen. But what has God in it is part of the new creation. Let's read ENF. Go. The new creation. Sonship. Brought forth. Amen. F. Let's stand up and read the focus. We crucified to the religious and secular worlds. Him on the earth today. Amen. Amen. Okay, have a seat. Okay. I want to read a very short note from Brother Minoru. After he left, he texted Philip with a note that he wanted us to share with all of you. So let me just read it to you. You might want to jot these down, actually. There's seven short points. So why don't you pull out your notes and just jot this down. Okay, you ready? Okay. This is from Brother Minoru Chin. Okay. Please tell the students seven things on my behalf. Number one, love and follow the Lord for the rest of their lives. Love and follow the Lord for the rest of their lives. Number two, read the Bible and ministry regularly. Amen. You got that? Love and follow the Lord for the rest of your lives. Read the Bible and ministry regularly. Number three, study hard and get the best grades in college. Study hard and get the best grades in college. Do you saints know Brother John Brooks? Maybe not. He lives in Paris now, but he's a brother who we were in the same locality together when I was in high school, and he was in graduate school in college. And he told me, he gave me the best fellowship I ever got about college. He said, Ted, do you want to know the secret to having a successful college career? to being a success in college? Tell me. Never miss a church meeting. Thought he was going to say something about calculus or, you know, major or something. Never miss a church meeting. That will line up your whole college experience. Oh, I can do it later. I don't need to study this afternoon. Uh-oh. Now it's time for the prayer meeting. I need to study. I can't go to the prayer meeting. Have the intention never to miss a church meeting while you're in college. It will save your college career. Okay. Number three is study hard and get the best grades in college. Number four, dive fully into the church life. Amen. Number five, have a good testimony by living Christ. So four is dive fully into the church life. Five, have a good testimony by living Christ. Number six, build up vital companion groups, twos and threes, on campus to bear remaining fruit. And number seven, what do you think it is? Six? Yes. Six is build up vital companion groups, twos and threes, on campus to bear remaining fruit. What do you think number seven is? Plan to go to the full-time training. Plan to go to the FTTA. Also, remind them of ageturners.com. Have you heard about this? Okay. Remind them of ageturners.com and to spread the word about the site. Thank you.